Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Melody.
Yes?
Happy Monday.
Did I say Monday?
Oh my gosh. I thought I'd try and fool you. You are listening. Happy hump day.
Yes, I was listening. You're going to get me confused. It is July 22nd. It is Wednesday, and I want to thank everyone for joining us today. We have Wendy Wilson joining us here in just a few short minutes as we go over the incredible precious metals market. You know, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and now everybody gets to say, oh, no, it's too expensive. No, it isn't. Get on board before it goes any higher. Today, gold up in the New York spot price aftermarket. You're looking at $2,610. It's up at $1,868. Silver had an incredible day, almost 8%, up $1.66 at $23.08. Platinum was up $38 at $924. Palladium was up $33 at $2,235. The USDX today down 0.22 at 94.95. It went through that 95 level real fast. I mean, that is something to take note of. Crude oil was down 10 cents today at 41.82. Paper markets today didn't have time to pay much attention to them. Yeah, what did you expect? The Dow was up 165 at 27,005. The NASDAQ was up 25 at 10,706. The S&P was up 18 at 3,276. I'll tell you what, if I was in the paper markets, there's only one thing that I'd be doing, and that would be selling, selling, and selling. And buying gold, gold, and gold, and silver. So, I mean, it's just a no-brainer at this point in time, ladies and gentlemen. I know a lot of you are all locked in your retirement accounts and your pension plans and so forth. And, you know, and sorry about that. But hang on. I can't even believe the things that are going on in this country. I mean, I just can't even believe it. It's frightening. And it's not going to change. It's not going to stop until we enter in a different world that we're not accustomed to. A lot different from when we grew up. And it's not for the better. So I can't imagine what's going to happen by the end of this year. And it is going to be a scary election. We have silver futures. They surged, and we'll talk about this after the first segment of the program, because we have Wendy Wilson joining us, and I want to get right back to her. But incredible day in the precious metals market. Premiums, silver premiums. I've had Silver Eagle. These are wholesale premiums, not my premiums. Wholesale jump $1.25. Since yesterday morning. Now we're out to about 2 weeks delay in shipping. So there's a lot going on, and I think the professional traders have finally popped into the silver market. You know, and they'll push it, and they'll push it big, and they'll push it fast. So, but we have all the fuel behind it. And again, I don't want to extend my opening any longer. We'll talk about this when we come back. We have from the first break, we have Wendy Wilson joining us today from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hi, Dave.
Hi there.
I thought we'd talk about the shape-shifting molecule. That sounds like something out of Star Trek, doesn't it?
It does. Sci-fi at your finest.
I know. Well, you know, the world of viral science has really changed in the last 100 years, actually more so in the last 50 years. So we have technology kind of probing pathogens, scanning their inner core, editing their genetic code. And what could this mean? Well, could it mean that, you know, medical science will deliver a miracle breakthrough in the fight against infectious diseases? Or could it mean that medical science will open Pandora's box, creating more infectious diseases. So when we're working with genetic codes within disease, one edit could make the disease harmless or more infectious. So when there is an area of the viral sciences where they're modifying viruses that are, you know, once, you know, restricted to the domain of the animal kingdom, and now they are nudging them, and now these viruses are infecting the human species. So the fingerprint of man-made pathogens is becoming more evident, and it's getting the truth out about the origin of these infections, and it's not easy doing that. So we're going to take a look at what science is saying about the key molecule and how that knowledge is going to be shaping infectious disease. Here's a quote from Francis Ballou. He is a professor at UCL Genetic Institute in Australia. He said this May 2020, he said, "The major challenge to defeating viruses is that a vaccine or drug, well, may no longer be effective if the virus has mutated." And we heard that same thing from Johan Gazik, the Norwegian Swedish virologist. He said, you know, once they come out with a vaccine for COVID, it's going to be worthless because it'll mutate. So, but let's get to this RNA molecule thing, where this was a study, the Australian researchers at Walter and Eliza Institute, they had this breakthrough in RNA genetic molecules as the structure for diseases. So changes or mutations will impact the RNA function of a disease. So changes in the RNA molecule will influence how your cells react to the infection and how they function. So this research did get published in the Journal of Nature this past May 2020. And what they said is, with this new technology, they were able to separate the structure of the RNA molecule, and they dissected it to discover an underpinning structure which influences cell function. Your cell function, my cell function. Okay, this is like knowledge you don't want to put in the hands of the despicable, you know? They discovered how the structure, get this, of HIV, the RNA genome in HIV, is able to influence proteins within the virus itself. And this could be a blueprint to virus genetic codes that could lead to some very dangerous outcomes. And this is very concerning to me, and I'll tell you why in a minute. So let's just real quick tell you what RNA is. RNA is a DNA-like molecule which encodes genetic information within certain viruses. So viruses like SARS, COVID, MERS, and HIV all use this molecule. The purpose and the function of the RNA is to help regulate essential biological functions. So the RNA is made up of nucleic acids called nucleotides, and they are single strands of what are called polymeric molecules, and without them, biological functions suffer. So they help with the DNA code and the regulation or expression of the gene. So the nucleotides are one of four major macromolecules essential for all living things to function, including you and me. Now think of RNA as a traffic light regulating traffic flow. So with RNA editing, think of scientists setting up roadblocks to reroute traffic. And it regulates protein synthesis within the genetic code DNA. So RNA helps, you know, link DNA code together. And the major functions of RNA would be as a messenger, as a transcribing genetic information for the DNA to use it. So think if you received an encryption code and you wanted to decipher the code, the RNA will translate the code for you. Also, it transfers sequences of nucleotides into amino acids for the cells to use with proteins as fuel. And it also is a binder. It often offers sites for genetic units to attach and carry out sequences similar to links in a chain, if you will. Kind of binds things together. So think of RNA as a sort of mortar that holds bricks together, or the ingredients in gum that make it chewable. Take away or change the mortar or the ingredients in your gum and you get a very different result. So scientists are working on producing tailored guides for editing RNA. This is scary. This is really scary. And they have this collaborative research going on because in the global scientific community, some countries have laws that mandate sharing the discoveries of science and posting them in this massive cloud platform for all of the scientists to see. And it would not take much for some important information on infectious disease to fall into the wrong hands. So the Australian researchers that collaborated, their efforts show that there are different structures of RNA which are unknown before. And so here's where it really gets interesting, though, Melanie and Dave. They decided to use the model for the virus in this research. They decided to use the HIV pathogen, the RNA in that one, in that virus. So their research showed that variations of the RNA molecule influenced how the molecule controlled the cells and how the cells function. So it controls the virus RNA will control your cell function. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Sure does.
Okay. So the RNA molecule controls proteins, which control the cell's function. Moreover, it also can influence genes by activating or deactivating them. So here's where they have discovered the RNA molecule is kind of like a bit of a horse. It's sort of like putting a bit in a horse's mouth. If you pull on the right side of the rein, the bit makes the horse turn right. If you pull on the left, it'll turn left. Or if you pull back both, it'll stop. So the RNA molecule key is for controlling the virus and how it reacts in your system. So you control the outcome if you control the RNA molecule.
Well, that, if I'm understanding this correctly, it kind of goes along the line, like when I think of these vaccines, that they'll be able to control the virus within you.
Right. That's exactly what it's going to do. So the RNA molecule, this is a quote from Dr. Vincent Corbin. He's with Walter and Eliza Institute in Australia. He says, the RNA molecule, they have two-dimensional structures which influence how the genetic information contained within them can be accessed. So RNA splicing can influence how it encodes their proteins. An example of altered RNA splicing influence how cells function and have been associated with cancer even and neurodegenerative diseases. That's not good. He goes on to say certain viruses use RNA for their genome, including SARS, COVID, and HIV. The techniques that we have developed have opened up a new field of research into the role of RNA structure in regulating the function of cells. This demonstrates how finely tuned biological systems are. Only one molecule can have big implications for the function of a virus. So they just mess with one molecule and they change the whole dynamic and the outcome. So the Australian research, get this, was funded by the U.S. National Institute of Health, the Smith Family Foundation, the Burroughs Wellcome Fund, the Australian National Health and Medical Research Council, and the Victorian government, of which Bill Gates Foundation has also funded.
Interesting.
They encourage scientists of great potential to come work on stuff like this. It's called the 1,000 Talents Program. This is how they get scientists in the biomedical field to come work for them to unlock these hidden gene codes for the purpose of editing viruses, plants, animals, and even humans. So actually this 1,000 Talents Program is in China. Okay, and it was started by a professor of biology called Jan Ku. He studied at Houston's Wright University and Stanford University in the United States, and he's calls this a company Suze Tech, and he set up this lab at the University of Shenzhen in China, and it's become this global leader in biomedical research. And he set up the Thousands Talents program within this lab to lure top scientists with generous financial benefits. Of course, they publicly do not promote this, and they deny that it exists.
Of course they do.
Right. So often, you know, in the halls of scientific research, the public doesn't hear the full story. You know, half the truth, still a whole lie. So, you know, all the public tends to hear about is groundbreaking research, stories that will improve our lives. Here is a quote from Fen Zhang. He's a Chinese-American scientist. He's also one of the co-inventors of the CRISPR editing tool. He said, one concern we have in the scientific community is the CRISPR gene editor can introduce accidental off-target mutations. We've called for a global moratorium on the use of this technology for gene editing on even infants and babies, for the risk outweighs the benefits, and I'm deeply concerned. So here's where I'm really worried, because the editing of plants, animals, and humans is really not the only thing science is editing. They are attempting to edit disease or pathogens. This is different than when a pathogen mutates on its own. This is a direct manipulation of infectious disease that could make it more lethal. So basically, I'm really worried about this here. Edited pathogens in RNA vaccines is what is being produced, and it will have profound effects on humans. So if we pay attention, we're going to learn that there is no such thing as a less offensive editing of genes or molecules, because science has admitted that edits do harm. And this will not stop science from marketing the latest invention, and many will believe the treatment will be good for them, and but it could forever change the course of the outcome. An off-target edit, a mistake, if you will, could cause permanent DNA damage that's irreversible. Now, I do not believe that it's a coincidence that science has used the HIV virus for their model, the RNA molecule. I also do not think it's a coincidence that SARS, MERS, and COVID are closely related. I think SARS and MERS were genetically altered viruses, and so is COVID. So disease cycles and mutations by nature are random. And that means they are not released year after year like clockwork. And so I am deeply concerned that HIV molecule has a similar key molecule to these other diseases. And somehow, I think we may see, hopefully I'm wrong, a new pathogen that will result involving HIV. And the reason that's important is because HIV takes out the immune system.
What a world we live. And you know what? We live. And you know what's interesting? When you keep saying the science, the science, the science, what do we hear every day? What are people being conditioned to on the mainstream media? Listen to science.
Listen to science, right. Like this COVID thing, if you've got zinc, your immune system protects you. And that's why only a minority of people are sick. But if they take COVID and merge it with HIV molecule, I'm worried.
That is a frightening thought. It really is.
Right. So,
give us your contact. Tell us how to get some zinc.
Astragalus root. We have it at Apothecary Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Out of time. See you next time.
Thank you, Wendy. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And I just want to do the New York spot price. We're still looking at gold up $26.50, $1,868. We have silver up $165 at $2,307, up 7.75%. The contract, future contracts, they were all higher. I think they actually punched over 8% earlier in the day. So we saw silver surge to the highest level in almost 7 years. And of course, gold continues to work up towards its record. And a lot of it is coming from that there's going to be more stimulus to help economies around the world to recover from this pandemic. Of course, you know the reasons why people go into the metals, but I think you're also beginning to see professional traders get into the silver market, and they can pump the numbers fast. It's a small, small market, and we can see the same in gold. So the real legs are there. The real fundamentals are there this time. I mean, I think the we saw silver run to 50 the last time. Fundamentals were a little weak for silver, but I think it's all different this time around. We're going to see some major, major changes to our governments and our countries here in this next year. The vast amount of stimulus that has been unleashed by governments and central banks, of course, have aided the prices. There was also a success of a European rescue package this week. I think we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. And a great day. An exciting day. So count your pennies, ladies and gentlemen. Get out of that fiat currency. Get out. Get out of that paper and get some gold and silver. Because we're not going to, we might have some pullbacks. But, I mean, you know, we might. So what? Don't wait for it because it's not going to get any better. These prices are still low. Gold 3,000. Price is still low. Prices, that's still going to be a cheap price. So, you know, I
speaking
think...
of...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, speaking of pennies, I read this afternoon that some banks now are paying customers an average of $5 per $100 of coins they turn in. Into the bank because of this supposed coin shortage. So it's in some places in the country, it's apparently becoming acute, so acute that folks are being paid for their fiat coinage. Go figure.
Yeah, go figure. I always believe in instances like this and these strange things, it's all about conditioning. You know, it's just like, you know, when we did the first segment with Wendy, we're being conditioned. Listen to the science, listen to the science, listen to the science. You know, while in the background, they're doing all these things to, you know, to change things, not for the better. Some of it will be good, but most of it and a lot of it will be bad for you. And that's how things work. And we saw the silver ETFs hit a record today, Dave. Is that correct?
Well, they did. Gold ETF holdings as well rose the most since mid-June, yesterday anyway, and are sitting at its highest level ever as well. Saxo Bank's Ole Hansen, quote regularly about gold and silver, said it's a typical low-liquidity summer market where prices tend to be easier to push. He continued, the closer gold gets to its record high, the stronger the magnetic field will become, and that could see it challenge that level before too long. As we mentioned late last week, a couple of the too-big-to-fail banks are already saying that it's going to be anywhere from 3 to 5 months till gold hits 2,000 and then 3,000. Looks as though we could be just another day away from another day like today when gold hits 1,900 and closes in on that all-time record. So, interesting stuff, Melody.
And you know, we
saw the gospel.
Yep, and the dollar. You know, I mean, how long we've been talking about the dollar and the global reserve currency, the pressure that it's going to face. The greenback accounts for more than 60% of global reserves and is the most widely used currency for international transaction. But it risks ceding ground to the euro after European leaders agreed on a 750 billion euro, that's $860 billion, close to $1 trillion. Let's just round it up, because that's where they're going to get to anyway. Stimulus package that enhances the appeal of the shared currency and euro-denominated assets. Wall Street strategists were already becoming more enthusiastic about the shared currency, betting that it's going to strengthen as the global economy rebounds from the virus. And the euro's strong correlation with equity suggests it could climb as the recovery fund makes the region's stock more attractive. And I did not look. What did the euro do today? 116. It's popped, and it's popped big.
Yeah.
So
115 yesterday.
Yeah. Well, a couple of weeks ago, it was what? 108? So.
Yeah, it jumps up. Although the euro still only makes up about 20%. Of foreign exchange reserves around the world. That figure peaked at about 28% in 2009 and should certainly be headed back in that direction. Longtime dollar bear AG Bissett Associates is projecting that the euro will now rise by more than 30% against the dollar over the next year and a third. The next 16 months. So, yeah, the euro's 1.15 hit yesterday. It was the highest since January of 2019. It's already up 3% this year on top of today.
I want to jump down to, because I think this ties in with currencies, as the Judy Shelton's nomination to the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. I mean, that has always been a very controversial. She has been. And now that it's been approved 13 to 12 by the Senate Banking Committee, the potential for both political and financial course disruption is very high. That's where there's more than one observer saying today that the full Senate should delay any decision on her nomination until 2021. And it's not because Shelton's views on monetary policy are necessarily out of step with the times. It's more that she's recently shifted those views, and she's a little bit more in line with those of President Trump, raising questions as to what type of monetary policy she would pursue if he were not reelected. Now, it's interesting because what she has supported in the for her part, she has supported, and I don't think this is in line with Donald Trump unless she's changing, and I've kind of, you know, just read this a little wrong, but for her part, She had supported in principle the idea of replacing the dollar with a single North American currency, as you know, the Amero. I mean, we've talked about that for years. And I can't imagine that would be Trump's, President Trump's view.
Shockingly, if it, shockingly so, if he would be supporting that.
Yeah, and as he shouldn't. You know, the she's a disciple of the legendary economist Robert Mundell, known in the world of monetary policy as the father of the euro. His life's project had been to replace national currencies with international standards or accords. So it probably, you know, so she's probably not a good one, and we can see why she's so controversial in getting this position on the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, Dave.
Well, she's crowned from supporting a return to the gold standard, modified.
That's what
as
she
it
did.
Would be,
yeah.
To now this single North American currency known as the Amero, and just doing a little bit of research on that, there was some or is some hope among those proponents that it would eventually include Canada as well, which would be a huge coup. In any event, I mean, there are those out there who believe the goal of harmonizing, consolidating international currencies is a noble one.
Well, it is.
Doing
not.
So theoretically reduces a major source of risk associated with foreign trade, allowing the economies of dissimilar nations to become more connected. In the case of the euro, it was widely believed that this deep integration would not only foster growth but also promote peace.
Yeah, well, how's that working out for them now?
Well, we'll call it less than ideal. I mean, we now know the economic policies of euro area nations are subordinate, less important, less powerful, or authoritative to that of the EU. It proved nearly catastrophic for the countries on the edges of Europe, particularly Eastern Europe, in the aftermath of the Great Recession. So another mainstream concern, apparently, Shelton's past proposals would have severely hindered, if not rendered impossible, the type of liquidity efforts the Fed is now engaged in. Well, there are those who believe that probably wouldn't have been a bad thing. And they also believe that, you know, her positions would have made the U.S. Congress's pandemic relief efforts dependent on economic conditions in other countries, in this case, Mexico. So Shelton is striking a far more nationalist tone since becoming nominated, I believe, last fall or earlier this year. And so that may be reassuring the president, but it also suggests that the potential member of the Fed could be tailoring her positions to fit the politics of a president. That's not my perspective. That's the perspective of some of those who questioned whether her nomination should be put on hold, presumably until after the election to see who wins. Anyway.
Well.
Go ahead.
Well, she seems to flip-flop on her positions accordingly, but can one Federal Reserve in that position that she's being nominated for have enough control to change any of her or influence the whole Federal Reserve? I mean, Powell making the who makes the final decisions would be Powell if he was still there.
Well,
I mean, this is why they should eliminate the Fed to begin with, but since we have to deal with the Fed,
the board does rule by majority rule in a sense. So she's one of a number of votes on the policy making front. So I mean, on the one hand, you'd say, well, no, her influence particularly among the current other members, would be limited at most. On the other hand, someone might say, well, it's like a domino. Right now it's one, but as more vacancies come up, there could be other like-minded folks who are nominated and eventually appointed that could eventually make more of a difference. There are other ways of looking at it too, but I think her nomination is going to be in trouble when it gets to the floor of the Senate, but we shall see.
I think this was an interesting change of the U.S. has forced the China consulate in Houston to close, and China has vowed retaliation after this closure, and it's one of the biggest threats to diplomatic ties between the countries in decades. Now, I'm not sure how that all affects our trade agreements with China, but we all need stuff from each country, so it probably doesn't affect it at all. The U.S. gave China 3 days to close its consulate in America's fourth most populous city. China planned to react with firm countermeasures if the Trump administration doesn't revoke this decision. The U.S. Department subsequently confirmed that it ordered the consulate to shut to protect American intellectual property and Americans' private information. Well, I believed it said international agreements require diplomats to respect the laws and regulations of the host nation and not interfere in its internal affairs. Wish we should say that with everybody who lives here, they should respect the laws. Maybe we wouldn't be having those problems that we're experiencing across this country either. But hey, who respects the laws anymore or enforces them? The first signs of trouble came when Houston police and the firefighters descended on the consulate following witness reports that there were papers burning outside in open containers, Dave.
Whatever happened to good old fashioned shredders, Melody?
Yeah, really.
I mean, it is particularly galling if it's true. Is it? I mean, certainly conceivably it is that you'd be getting rid of some evidence of the theft of this communications and what have you. But Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said at a news conference that China was costing hundreds of thousands of jobs here in the U.S. with its theft of IP. He said, we're setting out clear expectations for how the Chinese Communist Party is going to behave. And when they don't, we're going to take actions that protect the American people. So there you have it, Melody.
We're heading into a break. We have this too. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, it just wasn't China who lost us hundreds of thousands of jobs. I think every government in this country, in this world, has lost people hundreds of thousands of millions and millions of jobs. And, you know, it's difficult. I just don't understand. I don't know. I have so much, you know, people need to get back to work. And I get the uncertainty and everything that's involved, but people do need to get back to work. I just can't even imagine the turmoil that would be happening in a family household when there's no money coming in except from government. And there's a lot of people out there who don't like to get government money. That they'd rather be working and they can't. And I read also that they're going to be extending the unemployment. But that's a lot of money. $600 a week. That's a lot of money. And you know what? If you're working for minimum wage, I don't know if you'd. That might want to make you stay at home and collect that $600 extra over and above your unemployment. But I don't know. But I just can't imagine facing your bills, your house payment, your car payment, and not having any money coming in but that, and when that is always at risk of being stopped quickly. But there's going to be more closings. There's going to be up to 500 stores closing, planned by Men's Warehouse, Joseph A. Bank, owner of Tailored Brands. 500 stores. And let's see if I can get any details on that. Tailored Brands announced it would shutter those locations over time. It cuts about 20% of its corporate jobs by the end of its fiscal. I don't know if they've already. This is says at the end of fiscal second quarter. The move comes after temporary store closures and changes in people's clothing habits. Hey, you work from home, you can stay in your PJs. Maybe we ought to invest in a PJ store, you know, all day. But Taylor Brand.
I'll tell you what, Melody. Excuse me. Joseph A. Bank PJs aren't too chintzy.
There you go.
You're styling if you're working from home in them.
they have about 19,300 employees and a little over 1,400 stores as of February 1. And we've talked about all the other ones, all the other stores. They're not sure if they're planning to head to bankruptcy. But the company said that it had appointed a restructuring consultancy, Alex Partners, managing director Holly Etlin as chief restructuring officer. So that kind of sounds like they will be heading into bankruptcy sometime in the near future. But that's just one. And then there's another group. I was never sure what LinkedIn was, but LinkedIn is laying off nearly 1,000 employees. roughly 6% of its workforce globally, with the unemployment in the U.S. above 13%, and national economies from Europe and Asia to the Americas shrinking due to the virus. We've seen this outbreak, closing of companies. Hiring has slowed. The number of people applying for unemployment aid has remained stubbornly high. Doesn't really say the job cuts will hit global sales. So I guess it's going to be like 1,000. Well, that doesn't seem like a whole lot anymore.
LinkedIn, I always like to refer to it as the Facebook for professionals.
Oh.
Sort of just, that's what it is. I mean, it's a job, largely a job professional networking platform.
I tried to sign up one time, but it just messed up my computer for some reason. That was a long time ago, so I just never ever joined in there.
Yeah.
But and then we have these stores closing, and now you have the big mall owners who are looking to do deals to salvage the bankrupt retailers. I mean, this is just snowballing out of control, but it's certainly, you know, having this domino effect that no one is talking about. We have no idea when these numbers are going to begin to hit the economy in a way that people begin to wake up. All you hear from, you know, the mainstream financial markets, you know, is all smoke and mirrors. It's all a dog and pony show. And you're only going to hear the good news. And it makes us always sound like we're bringing bad news. Well, you know, you don't get hurt with good news. you know, you don't have to protect yourself from good news. But if you don't know what's boiling under the surface, that's what hurts. That's what robs you. That's what steals from you. You know, we see this inflation. We're going to see inflation creeping into. I mean, how often do we have to talk about it? How low does the dollar have to go before you realize that we have, that this country has a major financial problem? We have got debt that can't be paid. Do they actually have to default on the debt before people wake up and say, hey, I think we have a problem. I just lost 70% of my money. Gee, what can the government do to help me?
Melody, right now there are 535 members of the U.S. Congress. Well, maybe 534, 533, who are just putting their hand over their mouth saying, ho-hum, ho-hum. Who cares about deficits anymore?
Doesn't seem like anybody does. But yet they keep pumping out the money. They take they take advantage of the PPP for them. You know, it's just, this world is insane. I mean, we can't even keep up with all the news to report it here in an hour, and we take very few breaks compared to all the other programs out there. So, geez, it's amazing. And people, I can't tell you how many people asked me this week. I've had odd questions. Like, what's your average trade? Well, it's none of your business, but here it is. We've had bigger trades, more funds coming into gold and silver at once. You know, lots of times there was always multiple purchases and so forth. No, they're coming in full bang. Different than what we've experienced even through 2008. And we haven't even gotten started yet. The big hammer has not come down yet. You know, March was just a... I don't know what March was, Dave. It was just a... should have been a wake-up call as to what's going to be happening here in the near future. So it's just crazy. And now, I don't know, the SEC, Dave, it makes it harder for activist investors seeking change? Is that the influence on the corporations to make, you know, like having Nike influence?
Yeah, it's
like the NBA or whatever.
Yeah, it's essentially stockholders who want to make changes that aren't supported or aren't initiated by a corporate board of directors. I mean, it's already, I mean, most shareholder proposals already have long shots to getting changes made through the existing voting system at annual shareholder meetings. But it looks as though an SEC rulemaking decision today gonna make it just a little bit harder for investors to push for changes that aren't again initiated or supported by a business's board of directors.
Does it really make a difference? I mean, does anybody even really pay attention anymore? They're going to do it anyway. Just like so many things, there's just always, you know, the SEC.
Will it make a difference? It probably, I mean, it will to the extent that the SEC hasn't made it easier. I mean, again, it's already hard to get a shareholder proposal through by a majority of stockholders. But this part of the rulemaking affects, and this is something that probably isn't well advertised and thus well known by the public, even by those who own shares in either directly or through their IRAs or what have you, these proxy advisory firms, as they're called. There are a couple of big ones, Glass Lewis, ISS, and Institutional Shareholder Services. They're paid by pension funds, particularly the big ones, California, Illinois, Pennsylvania. And other institutional investors, big ones, to advise shareholders on how they should vote their stock. And a lot of those drive boards of directors and CEOs crazy. And they have significant influence in whether these campaigns succeed, the activist campaigns, because investors apparently often follow their recommendations. Even if they're just regarding boards of director elections. U.S. Chamber of Commerce, other business groups have lobbied the SEC for many years to rein in these proxy advisors, arguing that they have conflicts of interest and just ought to be more aggressively regulated. Well, the SEC heard them and took the first steps in tightening oversight first last November, when it proposed a number of rule changes, and now today. So you got the big guys, big investors like Carl Icahn, called the SEC proposal a big step backward. Now this is a place where I'd say, well, don't kill the messenger here. I'm not a fan of Icahn whatsoever, but just in terms of his independence from some of the boards of companies that he's owned over the years. He's been a big thorn in their side. And, you know, for those who want to make companies and directors more accountable for per performance, today's vote apparently is going to make it just one more step harder to get positive change. So there you have it. Go SEC, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just another one by,
I guess,
by and for the boards of directors.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not a fan of the SEC, you know, because they really don't do enough. They don't do, they should be doing a whole lot more than what they do. And, you know, it's all political anyway. So, you know, again, it's, but you know what, we wanted to do, I can't believe we're out of this segment already. And we didn't get a chance to do so many things we wanted to talk about today. And, you know, there's, we wanted to talk about new demand side reforms to the economy. We might be able to, you know, do that on Friday, Dave.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wanted to talk about levity is golden. We're going to talk about aging, but y'all know I'm 39, so, you know.
Well, that was, this one was in honor of you.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. And,
so you stop aging before, you know, you head into middle age, much less septuagenarianism.
There you go. So a lot of these will hold. I just can't believe we're out of time. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, I don't know, we're going to wake up one day to a whole brand new different world. We did that kind of in January 1, 2020. We woke up to a different world, to a different year. And funny thing I saw today was people must, in Pennsylvania, you eat sauerkraut, pork and sauerkraut, so you have a good year. And the comment was, with 2020, we didn't eat enough pork and sauerkraut the first. So, you know, there's talk about another U.S. verge on the lockdown, and that means more jobs. People aren't going back to work, more stimulus. This isn't turning around anytime soon, and we haven't even gotten to the part of, you know, how this plays out with the virus, with the vaccines. Pardon?
We have yet begun to fight.
We have yet. 800-375-4188. Begin your fight, ladies and gentlemen, by giving us a call at Discount Gold and Silver. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. And he left for me. That's too bad.